amongst all the devotees and all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets and the unlimited material universes and the unlimited spiritual sky with its topmost planet, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna chose from amongst the unlimited entourage of his associates Srimati Radharani as the model to emulate as the most perfect embodiment of prema, the most perfect manifestation of mercy, the most unlimited reservoir of compassion, and within whose love all aspects of bhakti in all five rasas within every planet in every universe find their source and perfection. This deep and wonderful truth was displayed in a very simple and charming way in that holy land of Braj, just east of the Yogapith where Radhe Shyam enact their divine meeting, beneath a kalpa vriksha tree which externally appeared in this world as a tamarind tree and is still living today, where Krishna revealed some of the intricacies and wonders of his upcoming appearance as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On one moonlit night, you see the deities wear garments of a color corresponding to the phase of the moon. Agrarian folks go very much by the moon, whereas Kshatriya dynasties calculate their passage of time in orientation by the sun, and navigators go by the stars. So Vrishabhanu, the dear king in the next kingdom from Nanda Maharaj, whose very name implies connection with the sun, and in whose vast empire a moon-like personality arose, the symbolism is actually very significant in theology, because the sun represents Krishna casting illumination, meaning truth, realization, knowledge, as well as warmth, which is necessary for life throughout creation. But in agriculture, sunlight is essential, of course, but moonlight governs everything in the calculation of time, the timing for planting the seeds, harvesting the crops, even such basic things as setting fence posts goes by the moon. The moon is a very important celestial figure because she transforms that scorching heat of the sun into very cooling, soothing, nurturing rays, and sheds them at night when the sun is not granting any illumination. So the deities, because Krishna comes from a cowherd king, he's a prince in the kingdom of a king who is a cowherd. Nanda Maharaj is not really a Kshatriya type king. He's a cowherd king. He is the king of the cowherds. And the next empire over is King Vishabhanu, also king of the cowherds. So on one moonlit night, after Mother Yashoda had gone through all the rituals of putting Krishna to bed, singing sweet lullabies about the wonderful pastimes of his days of yore, as well as the pastimes of Lord Ram, and looking deep within his lotus eyes, stroking his butter-soft body until his lotus eyes closed, and then she quietly exited the room, and as soon as she shut the door, Krishna jumped out of bed, ran out the window, and down the dark alleys of the back exit of Nandagram, taking advantage of the shadows with which his dark complexion merged, and he was not detected by anyone who was walking on the street. Simultaneously, in Vrishabhanupur, Srimati Radharani's very wise girlfriends dressed her in a pure white sari with sandalwood paste. White, very light-colored sandalwood paste. They kind of dulled a little bit her golden effulgence, and they muted her ankle bells with cloth so that she could sneak out in the moonlight. And they very much like to meet sometimes at the Yogapit and sometimes just east at Imlital, beneath that desire, that magnificent desire tree. So Krishna in Nandagram, most of the people were coming and going through the main gate, so Krishna went out the rear gate and just kept himself merged in the shadows and arrived at Imlital much quicker than Srimati Radharani, who, because of her feminine nature, was very fearful of any kind of controversy and doubt being cast upon her immaculate emblem of purity and chastity. So every time she thought she would just, hide. And it was by the direction of Yogamaya and the inspiration of her girlfriends that she would continue like a mystical fawn, just dodging all passersby. But it took her much longer to get there. So Krishna arrived at Imlital, sat down beneath that tree, and waited, and waited, and waited, until the fire of separation burning within his heart made him very restless. And he was thinking, where is she? So in that passage of time, when he was burning in the fire of separation, he consoled himself by seeing her feminine features everywhere around him. And for this reason, one of her multitude of names is Brajarupa, meaning aspects of her feminine virtues are visible everywhere in all the natural phenomena of Braj. So Krishna consoled himself by seeing the twisting black waves of the flowing Jamuna as her braid, and the lotuses in that river as the flowers which decorate her tresses, and the scent coming off the river as the fragrance of her celestial form. And immersing himself deep in remembrance and appreciation of her, he began first very quietly and then little stronger, vibrating her holy name. And as he chanted over and over again, Radha, 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 he became so infused with a kind of ecstasy and wonder that he began to muse, what great spiritual merit is in that name, and how sweet is that name, and how great is that name, And as he contemplated that holy name, he became suffused with the mood and the qualities in the sound of that name. And his sapphire complexion transmuted into a golden hue. And then when Srimati Radharani arrived at the kunj surrounding that Imlital and saw the golden effulgence coming from it, she was very surprised. She was expecting Krishna to be waiting, illuminating the kunj with his sapphire effulgence. But everything was golden and radiant. And she thought, what is this? And all the birds and flowers and creepers and everything, animate and inanimate, was just looking within that kunj in utter amazement, because even in Braj, where miracles and wonders abound, this was a rare occasion not to be missed, and everyone was spellbound. So when Radhe arrived, she said, what is going on? And she looked in the kunj and saw this effulgent, golden, beautiful personality. She was surprised and kind of taken aback, and she thought, I don't know who this is, but apparently Krishna saw this person and maybe he went over to the Yoga Pit. And you know, maybe this is some forest god come here to meet with some sylvan goddess. So she started to make her way towards the Yoga Pit when she heard her holy name being sung in the most sweet, melodious voice, which she recognizes as the one which eternally echoes within her own heart. And she was just wonderstruck. And she turned back and looked into the kunj, and all the animals made way for her to enter. And like a daughter of the wind, she gently cast aside all the flowers and bowers and looked closely, and she recognized that melodious sound of my name is definitely Krishna's voice. So she cleared her love-clouded eyes and looked more closely, and yes, that is Krishna. And he was calling her. So she just waited. And then when he felt her presence before him, and he opened his eyes, and he saw Srimati Radharani before him, he was very perplexed, because he was already completely convinced that he was Radharani. He had entered so deeply into her mood that he was absolutely convinced that she was waiting for Radha. I mean Krishna. He was Radha waiting for Krishna. So when Krishna, in the mood of Radha, opened his eyes and saw before him Radha, he was completely bewildered, because he was sure at that time that he was her. And when he opened his eyes and saw her before him, like, what? Who are you, Radha? So she thought it wise to remain silent at that time. So she just smiled slightly and cocked her head a little bit. And then Krishna, he started pressing his sides with his elbows and flexing his fingers. Is this, who am I? Am I? Do I have, what am I? And then he realized that, yeah, I have a body and it's different from, but who am I? And she was just smiling. And then gradually he began to realize who he was. And then she, like, very gently sat down beside him and said to him that, Krishna, I know that everything you do and everything you reveal is full of deep significance and meaning. So will you please reveal to me what is the meaning of the form that I just saw? And Krishna said, the influence of your divine name took possession of me. And something just overcame me. And I became like another person. And then he remembered that, well, actually, in the Kali Yuga, I do assume a golden form, enriched with your emotions and veiled in your complexion, and that personality is named Gauranga. Yeah, when she heard that name, she started chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. She said, I feel like I'm chanting your name when I chant that name. And Krishna said, not only my name, but your name. Gauranga, those four syllables are non-different from Radha Krishna. So then she asked, by what means could you acquire the bhava to know the feelings of my heart? And Krishna explained that your holy name has endowed me with all the transcendental potencies to understand the intricacies and mysteries of bhakti. So then, 4,500 years later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the land of Braj again, he very much liked Imlita for the external reasons that it was a secluded place and the cool breeze coming off the Jamuna was very refreshing, and he loved to chant there. But when he, Lord Gauranga, in the mood of Radha, would chant Krishna's name, his complexion would become dark, just like that tamarind tree. So, in this way, and there are many other instances also, when Lord Krishna revealed the wonders of Srimati Radharani's holy name and divine love, and gave indications of his future Leela as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We were reading this morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the glories of Bharatvarsha, and the next verse begins, Shukadev Goswami said, and then he addresses Maharaj Parikshit. This 10th canto, well, the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically the 10th canto, tells some few pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Pastimes were already there in the Puranas. There really wasn't any need to retell them as far as the pastimes themselves go. But if you consider why we keep hearing Sri Shuk Uvacha, Sri means Radharani. Shuka means her parrot, who was instructed by Krishna to stay in this world after his Leela was completed. And from Srila Vyasadeva to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and then to expand upon it in his own way, to actually reveal the glories of the Brijabasis and their unique flavor of service to Krishna. In Vrindavan, there's a kund named Gauri Kund, where there used to be a temple, but it's now unmanifest. And that is the place where Gauri, Parvati, was worshipped during the time of Krishna's Leela. And so that we properly understand the nature of Srimati Radharani's supreme chastity, which was being a little questioned by Abhimanyu, who kept hearing all these rumors that she was having secret meetings with Krishna. So he made a plan to send her to Mathura. So he asked Purnamasi's blessings. And Purnamasi said, well, this is just rumors, you know, you shouldn't make such a drastic move just based on rumors. And they said, yeah, that's right. It's kind of being a little reactive. And then he also asked her, well, I've heard that Chandravali has become, or rather her husband, has become very wealthy after Chandravali began worshipping Gauri. So would you initiate Radharani into the worship of Gauri, and then perhaps I'll become wealthy too? And she said, that is a good idea. So she taught her the worship of Gauri, and she began performing that worship regularly. And then Abhimanyu again heard that she's meeting Krishna there at the temple of Gauri. So taking Jatila with him, he ran to the spot to see if they could actually be caught red-handed. But with the approach of Jatila, Krishna got so scared that he just jumped onto the altar really quick, dressed himself in Gauri's clothes, and stood before the murti of Gauri, and dressed like her and looking like her, and Srimati Radharani just began worshiping. Then Abhimanyu comes charging in, and he didn't see any sign of Krishna. Then the gopis came and said, just look how effulgent Gauri is. She's so pleased by Srimati Radharani's worship. And then the deity spoke. She said, Abhimanyu, beware. A horrible calamity will befall you in 48 hours. And he was so shocked, and Jatila was frantic. What is it? And the deity said, it's so horrible that standing here on the altar, I couldn't even explain it to you. It's just so horrible. What? No, I can't even say. So maybe Vrinda will tell you. So he turned to Vrinda, what is it? He said, well, Kamsa's coming in 2 days she's speaking to Abhimanyu, to chop off your head and offer it as a sacrifice to Lord Shiva. And then Jatila and Abhimanyu turned to who they thought was Gauri and said, please, we've never asked you any benediction, but please prevent this horrible catastrophe from befalling us. And she said, no, it's already said and done. There's nothing I can do about it. And they pleaded and pleaded. The curse is already upon you. So then Srimati Radharani intervened. She said, but I cannot live without my Swami. And then the pseudo-Gauri Murti said, well, if it is Srimati Radharani's desire that this disaster be averted, then I will intercede. And everyone was so relieved. But on two conditions, she told Abhimanyu, you can't ever let her leave Vrindavan, and you have to let her come and worship me every day. So these pastimes are not something we should just appreciate as some kind of religious entertainment. They're rich in meaning, because our position is actually very much like that of Abhimanyu. We're in the mortal world on death row and to be executed at any time for our forgetfulness of Krishna. And the only hope is a pardon from the king. So Srila Prabhupada liked to use the analogy of a king visiting a prison to illustrate the nature of Krishna's appearance in this world. A king may visit a prison, and he may go behind the bars, and they may lock the door, and he looks like a prisoner. And these days, he probably deserves to be one. But in former times, when the kings were good, he would go there, and by all outward appearances, he looks like a prisoner. He's behind the bars, just like the rest of them. But the difference is, he comes and goes at it by his own free will, but mainly his visit there is to give encouragement to the prisoners. Why don't you rectify and uplift yourselves and become good free citizens and contribute something to the world and feel good about yourselves? He comes to show them that I care about you. I appreciate you. I have faith in you and hope for you. And then when he's done with his mission, they open the doors and he can leave. So we were also fortunate that we were not fortunate in that we missed, you know, the appearance of Krishna. And just 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and displayed his lila on this world and liberated the whole universe, we were bound and shackled in some other universe somewhere. And we missed such a precious occasion by such a short margin of time. But the Lord, ever merciful upon the fallen souls, is always sending his delegates to reclaim. And when Srila Prabhupada was a young boy, his father would invite many sadhus over to the house every day. Of course, mostly they weren't sadhus. But just because they were dressed like sadhus, to honor the custom, Gaur Mohan Day would, you know, entertain, he would host many sadhus every day. And there were some genuine ones. But he always repeatedly asked the same blessing. Bless my son that he may become a servant of Srimati Radharani. So because he came into our lives, and that poem we were discussing this morning is more than some just appealing words. It is like our hope that Prabhupada came and just approaching the shores of the Western world, he wrote what was in his heart. You know, you can't really understand the mind of what to speak of a pure devotee. It's very difficult to understand the mind of anyone. And therefore, if you really want to understand one's mind and heart, you have to, you know, read their words. What was Prabhupada's words he penned upon approaching the shores of the United States? I emphatically say unto you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. And even here in New Vrindavan, we've seen the divine intervention which saved our mortal lives. Within this room, I think other than myself, Kaladri Prabhu was the only one present when we were all held at gunpoint. And the motorcycle gang made it very clear to us that they had no intention of letting any of us survive the upcoming massacre. And then Srimati Radharani, whose virtues are softer than the lotus, can reveal to the miscreants the form of Durga. And I don't know what they witnessed, but they fled the scene so horrified and terrified. It was as if the roar of Lord Nrisimhadev, or as in the case of the upcoming sacrifice of Jed Bharat to the deity of Durga, when the Murti exploded and she came out and chopped off all their heads, it was some, they saw something like that. So it may be improper by Hindu or smartest standards that a deity who has been damaged would continue to be worshipped. But the Brijabasis do not go by smartest standards. The goddess of Prem averts all attempts to understand or control by jnana or philosophy or theology or academic or any ascending process, even any descending process. Keshava Kashmiri spoke scripture oftentimes and knew scripture, which is the descending form of knowledge. But he did not know Krishna when he came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was not in a spirit of complete humility. So ascending knowledge will never understand the goddess of prema. And even descending knowledge will not reveal her glories to us unless we have a sufficiently humble heart that her gentle qualities can take root. So going beyond any kind of smarta considerations, the Brijabasis would not consider that they could ever abandon the worship of Sri Sri Radhavindavan Chandra, and the certain marks on their holy forms which remind us of that simultaneously horrific and also, from our perspective, life-saving grace. Those marks on the forms of Radhavindavan Chandra are embellishments which should forever remind us that, I mean, this is even a graphic, physical example of their intervention sparing our lives from massacre. I mean, there we were, a few Brijabasis surrounded by machine guns and other types of armament, by a vicious band of this motorcycle gang. And they kept telling us, don't think that anyone of you will ever survive this incident. But you should know that Krishna specializes in hopeless situations, because when all other hope abandons us, then it really crystallizes the significance and the meaning and the wisdom and illumination in that prayer. Oh, my brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. But what is the question of Srimati Radharani becoming pleased with us? She has her own divine entourage of eternally liberated souls who have no selfish, no scent of any selfish desire within their hearts. What do we have to offer? Srila Prabhupada intervened on our behalf. And considering that his father was a pure devotee who requested the blessings of all the sadhus that he become a pure servant of Srimati Radharani, which we have no doubt that he was and is eternally, because he interceded on our behalf, then Srimati Radharani, who, like when Gauri said, no, there's nothing I could do to cancel the curse, but when Srimati Radharani prayed, She said, well, whatever she says, I have to accept. But who was speaking? Dressed in the garments of glory, it was Krishna speaking, saying that whatever she requests, I have to fulfill. So if we can please the servants of the servants of the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, beginning with Srila Prabhupada, who is our only hope of redemption, which means pleasing the maid servant of the maid servant of the maid servants of Srimati Radharani, then we have most glorious hopes and prospects that maybe not within this one or two lifetimes, but hopefully before the time that Kalki makes his appearance, she will bestow her mercy upon us and uplift us and grant us entrance into the holy land of Braj, where she is the princess. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? That is exactly what Krishna was contemplating. How is it that I, whom Atmaram, self-satisfied, am hankering for her? What is the qualities and the wonder in her that captivates my mind? And he was, that was his own internal thought, and his external consideration was that during the time of my Leela as Krishna, didn't really recruit too many lost souls from the material world to join the Brijavasis and actually take to the path of bhakti. So therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, penning the words which Krishna was considering, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him which she alone can relish through her love, and the sublime happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of his love. Krishna donned her complexion and compassion and assumed a form enriched with her bhava. So, or philosophically speaking, you can understand that prema is unlimited. As Krishna is unlimited and self-satisfied, there's a competition between the Lord and the goddess of bhakti, that as the gopis try to please Krishna, he becomes more beautiful, and as he becomes more beautiful, they become more. Each one is ever increasing, and as each one is increasing, the other is always trying to understand. So in this way, Krishna and his internal energy are ever expanding the scope of one another in a dynamic relationship of pure love. Another way you can understand it is that Krishna is the abode of all mellows, rasaraj. But the mellows are within him. He knows it. He feels it. But to make them flow, another personality is required, because bhakti means flow. Mellows are fluid metaphors. There can't be a flow between one. There has to be two. So Radha and Krishna are one. Different aspects of the same person, male and female, aspects of the same divine personality, the absolute truth. But each one is ever enhancing the pleasure of the other. I don't know if that answered your question, but you can meditate on those words.
Anything else? Are the questions finished? Mahavati has a brief announcement. Thank you very much, All Glories to Srila Prabhupada.